Okay, let's get started this morning. Get some readers, if I can get Philippians 2, 19 through 24. David Cutter, if you'll get that. Then if I can get Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. Colby, if you'll read that for us. Matthew 10, 1. Philippians 2 and verse 22. Vince, if you'll grab that. 1 Corinthians 11. And verse 1, Brian, if you'll get that, 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Philippians 2, 23, Casey, if you'll get that for us. Mark 6 and verse 7, Daniel, if you'll get that. Mark 6, 7, Devin, if you'll get Mark 16, 15. Then we could get 2 Timothy 1, 13, Matt, if you'll get that. Philippians 2 and verse 20. Brian, if you'll get that, DeBlore. Philippians 2, 20. A couple more here. 2 Kings 2 and verse 9. Nigel, if you'll get that. 2 Kings 2, 15. Sean, if you'll get that. Philippians 2 and verse 19. Tony. Lastly here is 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Nate, if you'll read that. Okay, so just want to start with this story. One of the greatest compliments in my ministry came from Pastor Paul Stevens. I was preaching in Philadelphia, the Upper Darby Church. They had a mid-Atlantic rally, filled one of the slots there. And after the service, he said these words. He said, "I want to commend you on your sermon and preaching. Not only did you sound just like your pastor, but you carry his spirit. You are a discipleship success. You've caught the heart of your pastor." And so here, that was very, very encouraging, because that is something I prayed for. God, give me a portion of my pastor's spirit. Give me a heart like my pastor. For people, give me wisdom with words, etc. And so that was an answer to prayer, but that is what we want to talk about today, is catching the heart of your pastor. In the scripture we're going to look at this morning, Paul, a discipler of men, kind of brags on his disciple a little bit. And the reason is because he's so encouraged that Timothy, his son in the faith, has caught his spirit and has a heart for the ministry like he does. So let's read that, Philippians 2, 19 through 24.
"But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. You know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly."
Okay, let's look at this, catching the heart of your pastor. Let's set a foundation. Let's think firstly about the discipleship pattern. So one of the distinctives of our fellowship is the training of pastors through discipleship. So this is in contrast to the traditional program of Bible college, right? Most denominations, organizations, you get a burden to preach, they encourage you to go sign up for Bible college, get a degree in theology, etc., etc. But Pastor Mitchell and our fellowship, what they've done is this discipleship training. Pastor Mitchell said the discipleship process is learning through hands-on experience, right? You get practically involved with people. You practically get a understanding of where your spiritual authority is at, right? You can get a gauge. You can see your effectiveness or your anointing. Why? Because it's hands-on. Whereas Bible college is learning through curriculum and theory, right? As long as you have some understanding and you can pass the test, that makes you somehow a man of God. But discipleship, it reveals your spirit. It brings to the surface maybe the things that are lacking. It is learning through hands-on experience. But it's important for us to note, right? While traditionally our method for training men is discipleship, traditionally the church world, their method is Bible college. The discipleship pattern is not just a fellowship thing. It's a biblical idea, right? The Bible, you can do your own study, but the Bible speaks about the school of the prophets. The problem with the school of the prophets is it never produced a prophet. It was all theory and curriculum. God, through discipleship, always raised up a man that he needed. And again, we see this all throughout the Bible. We know that those who were close to Jesus, closest to him, the 12, were called disciples, right? These were, as Acts said, unlearned men. They didn't have formal training. They were discipled by Jesus. Matthew 10 and verse 1.
And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease.
Okay, when he called his 12 disciples to him, discipleship was not a foreign idea in Jewish culture. Rabbis, men who were scholars in the Word of God during Jesus' time, they would call men to themselves, men they saw potential in. Right? Everybody learned Torah and Pentateuch and all these different things. They learned that was put into them traditionally, culturally. But men who showed potential, rabbis would call them. And discipleship, to learn from that rabbi, was a privilege. To learn from that teacher was a privilege. So this isn't a foreign concept. When Jesus calls the 12, it wasn't like totally out of the ordinary for the culture and society. It was a privilege. I want you to understand that today, discipleship is still a privilege. Other examples of discipleship include Eli and Samuel. Eli taught, gave instruction, gave understanding to Samuel, connected him to God, and Samuel took over from Eli. We know the story of Elijah and Elisha. Here is discipleship, training as Elijah is imparting, as Elijah is directing and instructing, Elisha catches his spirit. We know David discipled his son Solomon, prepared him for the work and the takeover of the kingdom. Jesus and the 12. In our text, we read of Paul with Timothy, a son in the faith. You continue reading in Philippians chapter 2. Paul talks about another disciple, Epaphroditus. He speaks of him and his discipleship and his qualifications. We know that Paul discipled Titus. So again, the point is, it's not just a fellowship thing. It's not just what we do. Pastor Wayman Mitchell caught a revelation from the Word of God, and it has produced thousands of churches all over the world through a process of discipleship. So discipleship is all about one learning from another. You learn by example. Right now, gentlemen, you have the most incredible example before you, Pastor Greg Mitchell. You have an example of a godly man. You have an example of what a marriage should look like. You have an example in so many avenues of life. Observe and learn from him. We have learning by impartation. We talked about this a little bit last week in the asking questions and gaining an impartation, more than just information, more than just data. You're getting their spirit in you. We can learn a pattern, right? You need to, as I said last week, look around, see what we do, and learn why do we do it. Because there's a pattern to be learned and reproduced. We can learn doctrine from our pastor, right? Pastor Wayman Mitchell has time and again protected our fellowship from false doctrine, has made stands against false doctrine. We learn from that. We've seen and at times even learned the hard way. We can learn wisdom. We can learn how to counsel people, etc., etc. Discipleship is one learning from another. Let's read Philippians 2, 22. Did I hand that? Okay.
But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel.
Okay, here Timothy has proven worth how with a son with a father. That's giving us an application here, something we can wrap our minds around of discipleship. Discipleship is like a father instructing his son. You should, you know, if in this successful discipleship, right, as Pastor Stevens points out, not only do you sound like him, you carry his spirit, right? There might be things and quirks you don't like about your dad, but you have them, right? You hear people from time to time, that was like your dad, or you look like your dad, or that sounded like your dad, because that's part of it, right? There's impartation. There's a genetic code at work, etc. That's the same spiritually, that application. So your job as a disciple now, your job as a disciple is to learn from your pastor, your spiritual father. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1.
Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ.
Okay, here's that idea of pattern and impartation. Imitate me, follow my pattern. Just as I follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. So, in discipleship, how much you are going to learn is actually up to you. Pastor Greg has often said when I was a disciple, you will get as much of this as you want. That is going to be up to you. And so, follow his example. Pray for impartation, right? Like I said, I prayed for that. I contended. It was a daily prayer. I even prayed, God, help me to articulate sentences and convey thoughts like Pastor Greg. Because I think he's the master at communication in sermon and in preaching. And God, give me that. I want that. Pray for it. And then you need to be able to receive instruction and correction. Pastor Greg has said, I remember, man, so often he'd say, I cannot help a guy who will pout, and God will not use a man who will pout. Right? So when you're corrected, man, you need to be able to receive that, process that, and grow. This is the discipleship pattern. So let's think secondly about sending disciples out. Paul takes the time to tell about Timothy's discipleship. He, like a son with a father, these little factors. He carries my spirit. He has my heart. But the point isn't to just produce, some type of spiritual clone. The intention is to send them out. Right? Discipleship is all about sending. Philippians 2 and verse 23.
Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me.
Okay, I hope to send him at once, or another translation, send him as soon as possible. So that's the same thing every disciple in the Bible did. They were sent out. As I said, Samuel took over from Eli. He was sent and fulfilled that role of prophet. Elisha took over and was sent out. We know the disciples were sent, Mark 6 and verse 7.
He called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two, give them power over unclean spirits.
Okay, he called the 12, his disciples, and then sent them out. So here, that's what we do. That is the fruit of discipleship, is now you've been trained, you've learned, there's evidence of supernatural usefulness and breakthrough. You have miracles in your quiver for accomplishing God's work in whatever place and city, and then you're sent out. So, sending is part of it, but why do we send men out? Number one is to do the will of God. Your number one job in getting sent out is not to set up a clothing distribution center. Right? It's not to set up a soup kitchen. It is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and win souls. Right? It's to save the lost, to see lives changed by the gospel. That is priority number one in getting sent. Mark 16:15.
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Okay, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the mandate. That is the great commission. That is the focus of every disciple we send. Go and preach Jesus. Anybody who's pioneered, you can talk to them. Ask them how much did they outreach. They'll tell you that's basically all that I did. Because that is what you're called to do, is to go and preach the gospel. So you go, number one, in being sent, to do the will of God. Secondly, is you're called to go and replicate the pattern. You're supposed to replicate Prescott, the pattern. You're called to replicate the Potter's House Christian Fellowship Ministries in whatever city you're in, no matter its size. Right, the mistake people make is, we'll incorporate, we'll cast vision when, we'll do this later, we'll implement these standards. No, you're called to replicate it from the beginning. You know, the church in Rochester, I pastored there, time and again, incredible failures by pastors. Over the years that pastored that church. But you know what? Pastor Jeff Day built it on the right foundation. And even when you could figuratively say the house burnt down, the foundation was still strong. And it could always be rebuilt. Now, that I believe, is what we're talking about here in replicating the pattern as soon as possible, as quickly as possible. That foundation needs to be laid. 2 Timothy 1:13.
Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so here you're not sent to go and find a new way. You're not sent to go and see what the megachurch in the area is doing. You're not called to go and sort any other fellowship guys in the area out. Okay? You're called to go and replicate the pattern. This is what Paul tells Timothy. Hold fast the pattern that you heard from me. Lay a hold of that and reestablish it in another location. So you are called to replicate Prescott. You know, another great compliment was when I'd have an evangelist come, was, this feels like Prescott. That was encouraging. That means I'm getting the job done. Right? There, you need to have at work in your church fellowship vision and fellowship spirit. I remember when Pastor Micah Wright, I went to preach for him in American Samoa, and he said, I pray. He asked me, how does it feel? I said, it feels great, man. Feels like Prescott. And it did. And he said, man, I pray, God, let the vision of our church be the vision of our fellowship, and let the spirit of our church be the spirit of the fellowship. Because that's what we're called to do, to replicate the pattern. Thirdly, we're called to carry the spirit of our pastor into another city. into another area, into another nation. Philippians 2 and verse 20.
For I have none, no one that like-minded who would sincerely care for your estate.
Okay, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care. Another translation says, I don't have anyone like him who will be genuinely concerned. In other words, Paul is making a distinction and pointing out, Timothy is like me. He has my spirit. He has my heart. He has a vision. He has a doctrine. He has it all. It's packaged in him. And when I send him, it's like I'm sending me. That's the point of discipleship. Today, this morning, Pastor Wayman Mitchell will not be behind a pulpit, but he will be behind pulpits in spirit because he has poured himself into men. This morning, Pastor Greg Mitchell, even though he's going to be local in Prescott, he will also preach all around the world because his spirit has been imparted into other men. And that is the point. We are called to catch that so we can carry it. 2 Kings 2 and verse 9. Okay, so what we're talking about isn't, again, just a fellowship thing, right? People can get bent or this attitude, how come, and you think, Pastor Mitchell, and you think, Pastor Greg, and how? No, this is biblical. Here's Elijah talking to Elisha. What do you want? Elisha says, I want a portion of your spirit on me. I'm about to take over this ministry, right? You're about to maybe one day go pioneer. You're maybe going to go take over a work. Don't you want your pastor's spirit? Right, when I went into Santa Fe, I'm 24 years old. The church is 33 years old. What am I going to tell people who've been saved longer than I've been alive? Right? It's like pastoring my parents, right? A group of about 30 people, right? 15 couples that were all like my parents. They called me for the first year, and then it just stuck. Pastorito, right? Little pastor. You know what? They're going to need a heck of a lot more than what Pastorito can give them. I needed my pastor's spirit. I needed the wealth of wisdom and biblical insight. I needed that portion to rest upon me. That's why I prayed for it. 2 Kings 2:15.
And when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him.
Okay, catch that. People recognize. The people around saw it was observable that the spirit of Elijah rested on Elisha. That is what we need to contend for. Let the spirit of my pastor rest upon me. That it should be what is at work, replicated for us to carry it into another city. Right? Just for the sake of opposite, a contrast, we know that wasn't the case for Gehazi, right? He went. He was sent, but the spirit was missing. He could do the program. He could follow the liturgy. Fast song, slow song, opening prayer, announcements, preach, altar call, dismissal. But something was lacking. The spirit, the impartation, a Holy Ghost dimension was lacking. We need to catch our pastor's spirit. So let's close. Let's think about the joy of spiritual sons. I want you to understand from a pastor's perspective, an ascending pastor's perspective, it's a joy to send out a spiritual son that you've invested in, that you've poured your life into. Philippians 2, 19. Okay, here, I hope to send Timothy. I'm looking forward to sending him, and it's going to bring me joy to hear the report. But I want you to understand, Pastor Greg, I can see, man, he appreciates the reports at conference. You know, I don't know if any of you were just focused on the video on his birthday, but seeing his men, and I'm looking over at it, man, that's encouraging because he poured his life. It brings joy. It brings a joy. There's such an encouragement when you see a man that you've poured into become successful. I remember Pastor Greg would often tell us his disciples, I pray that your ministry is even greater than mine. It gives them joy to see success. And so not only that, it's a joy for the home church. Right? When we showed that report of Pastor Micah Wright, missionary Micah Wright, right? Here he is, man, in American Samoa. He sends that report. We show it, and the church erupts in excitement, in joy, because it's exciting for the church. It's exciting for the brethren. It inspires, man, my friend, my brother, my, the brethren, we're discipled together to see them succeed. It's a great joy. Sending is a joy. But the challenge is, it's not supposed to end with you. Right? Once you get out, it's like, I caught my pastor's spirit. I'm out here. I'm seeing people saved. But it stops. The discipleship process stops. No, you are the link between Prescott and the future. You're the link between Prescott and the next church plant. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2.
And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Okay, the things you heard from me, that pattern, that impartation, the doctrine, all of it, everything you heard from me, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Your job is to not only be discipled, but be a discipler. Okay, I've pastored in different areas of the fellowship, and it's very sad to see there are good disciples, men that are godly men, love God, love the things of God, love, you know, but they've been out for a very long time. And they have not made one disciple. That's a problem. That's a problem. So, but that has to be in you. I talked to Pastor Mitchell about it. I said, how come some guys, they can, and other guys, it's like they're putting everything in. And then he says, either you have it or you don't. It's a supernatural factor. Discipleship is supernatural. And so here we need to catch it. And that's why I prayed, God, help me to disciple men. Give me that discipler spirit that men would want to follow me and open their heart to receive and catch an impartation. That's something to contend for. I remember the day, Pastor Greg, man, I was on staff. We had had a number of outreaches all summer long. Guys were excited. We were working at that time in this building right here. It's crazy to think about 60 brand new converts. And I'm not talking like, they came a service or whatever. No, they were coming. We're sending all the vans out to pick up people for church. I mean, it's happening. We're baptizing people. Man, we baptized a guy and his dog, right? I mean, it was incredible just what God was doing. And I said, man, I remember talking to him. I said, man, Pastor Greg, the guys are excited. He was doing some series and serious men. I'm like, guys are stirred. We have even more outreaches lined up. They want to do something for God. Man, the disciples are just excited. And he said, yep, and one day you will need to disciple men. It was like he caught this, I don't know what it was, but he, man, they're behind you. They love it. They're catching. We're excited. He goes, yeah, and one day you're going to have to replicate this. And I remember thinking, like, legit, this was my thought. Can't I just send them to you? Like, maybe I'll win them, you disciple them, right? But no, I'm called to go and be a discipler. And so when I recognized that, because I was a good disciple, but am I going to be a good discipler? I knew I needed more than myself to see that happen. And I began to pray for a portion of Pastor Greg's discipling spirit. Let me tell you, I have pictures from both churches I pastor of men that wanted to preach the gospel. I had the privilege of launching in Rochester two men into ministry. That is such an encouragement. This is what we need to catch. The spirit of our pastor to continue the work that has been set before us. Okay. Very good. Any questions this morning on catching your pastor's spirit? Yeah?
You talked about replicating from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that, like, what would that not look like compared to what that would look like? Can you expound?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things really stood out to me is I preached for Pastor Justin Manzanares, where he's at in Sacramento right now, and he always cast vision. You know, we're going to take this city. We're going to win this city for Jesus. He had bulletins of conferences and what we're part of and what we're connected to. He encouraged impact teams. You know, we'll take me, my wife, and, you know, two guys, one guy, but we're going to go and we're going to bring an impact team and bless another church. Right? All those things where guys can look at it and say, I don't have enough people to do that yet. I don't, we're not that big yet. You know, they wouldn't understand this yet. They're just new converts. No, when they catch what we're part of, it stirs them. They recognize they're part of something bigger. So casting vision, casting the spirit of our fellowship, then that's going to happen maybe through preaching. You're going to, it's not going to be the focus of your sermon, but it's going to be in passing. Bulletins, like I talked about, praying for our pastors, right? I've had people, why do we pray for Wayman Mitchell and Greg Mitchell and Keith Sullivan in Prescott? Where, you know, well, yeah, good question, right? And so things like that, you're going to begin to implement. Good. Say that first part again.
Is part of it.
Part of it, okay.
The responsibility of responding to that.
Yeah.
I mean, like in our church, there is so much discipleship going on, and you could just kind of like stand there and kind of let it wash over you.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, which is why I said catching your pastor's spirit. Right? I like to put it in these terms for guys, you know, is think about football. You can have an awesome quarterback, but if you have a crappy receiver, that's just not going to matter, right? You could have an awesome receiver, but if you have a crappy quarterback, that's also not going to work out, right? So it takes both. It takes both. We are the receivers, right? As disciples, we have to catch what our pastor casts. But then also, I challenge pastors, right? Because I have guys all the time, how do you get your disciples to? And how come they? I say, I talk to them about it. What? Yeah, I talk to them about it. I explain to them what I'm looking for. I do serious men's classes, you know, and through questions, you have to be throwing them stuff too, right? So it takes both. But yes, there is a responsibility on us, which is why I said you will get as much as you want, right? Pastor Greg was here nearly 5 years before I began to be discipled. He didn't change. I did, right? And so that's going to be up to us, yeah. Questions? All right. Very good. Very good. We want to just continue to pray for Pastor Mitchell and Pastor Greg. Just peace upon them, you know. Pastor Greg texted me yesterday. Pastor Wayman's been in a coma state since yesterday morning. And but he's still holding on. He's still fighting for life, which is natural in us. So, but he's ready. The family's ready. And so we just want to continue to pray. God, let him pass with grace and give peace and comfort upon him, peace and comfort upon all the extended family. And so we just want to continue to lift them up. Okay? So you pray for your pastor. This is where now, right, like that story of Moses with Aaron and Hur. We need to lift up our pastor's arms in prayer. Lift him up. God, send him. Send him peace. Send him strength. Right? And through our prayers, we're going to lift up his hands so he can continue to lead our fellowship. Right? So, very good. All right, so we have. Ooh, you like that? See, see what I did there?
Is this it?
Yeah.
So, for disciples in the church, like as disciples in the church now, what can we do to cultivate that spirit of discipleship?
What can we do? Well, correct, yeah. Is to get involved, right? Be involved. Get on board with outreaches. Get on board and lead them, right? Pray, God, give me inspiration on an approach, right, in this unique season. And then as you are involved, you're going to see maybe areas where you're going to have lack. But also, in just doing, right, it cultivates an atmosphere. Hey, David did something. I want to do something. Or so-and-so does that. I want to do something. Can I lead something as well? Can I get involved? And that just, by doing, it cultivates it as well. Yep. Very good.